This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, May 2nd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we talk about the construction industry, actually. Today, I actually have Leonard Sands from the Contractors Association, and we are talking about what's in the news and to actually understand what exactly is happening in the Contractors Association. But before I go to Leonard, and before I have him explain who he is and why he thinks he has the authority to explain the culture of construction, the nuances of construction in the Bahamas, I want to quickly go to the phone and bring in BJ Morse, because he had a concern and he mentioned the word Acklands. And I said, since you mentioned Acklands, let me give you 5 minutes. So I'll make it a quick 5 minutes to hear what BJ is saying, and then I will return to Leonard Sands from the Contractors Association, and we'll be talking about construction in the Bahamas and a little bit about immigrants. I want to talk about some immigrants because it looks like construction is immigrant-owned. Anyway, let's go to BJ Moss. Go ahead, BJ.
Morning, Cecil. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. And so quickly tell me, what is your concern about Acklands, man? I heard you had a concern.
No, yes. It is an age-old concern, Cecil, and it is around mail service. You know, it's just to regulate mail service. And currently, the people in Acklands are up in arms as a result of no gas being at the gas station, but more importantly, that they are prohibited from putting gas on the mail boat. You know, so that in times like these, when the gas station has no gas, they at least have their own little stock. So right now, the island is at a standstill.
So let me ask that. You saying that there's no gas on Acklands at this present time?
Absolutely none.
None on the whole island?
None.
Who provides gas services there on the island?
No, there is a gas station there. There's a gas station there that is, I'm speculating. I'm not seeing the ownership documents, but I speculate that it is owned by the mailboat operator, Mr. Tom Hanna.
Right, but he at least operates it then.
Yes.
Okay, so what is the problem? Is he that they are unable to finance refueling of the gas station? Is that the issue?
I don't know, because there can be all sorts of extenuating circumstances that could cause there to not be gas at the gas station. What I am saying and what the people on the island are lamenting about is their inability to provide for themselves their own gas just in the event these things happen, where the gas station has no gas.
And it could be any number of inability things. Okay, I understand that this is a gas shortage, and you say you're not sure why, but you're saying the issue now is for Acklands Islanders to get their own gas. So what is the issue? Why they can't get their own gas?
Well, they're saying, and I have never personally went to take gas into Acklands and been refused, but it is common knowledge that it is not taken on the boat. They will refuse to bring it on the boat, albeit gas will go into Long Key on the same boat.
So, wait, you're saying that it's maybe due to insurance issues that they're not allowing gas to go on the boat?
I don't know whether it's insurance issues or what, because it couldn't be if you are taking gas on the same boat to go to Long Key on the same trip, but none is going into Acklands. It can't be that it is the insurance issue.
So gas for sure on this boat, this mail boat, goes into Long Key, but no gas, it stops at Acklands, on Acklands.
Yes, that's yes.
What about your member of parliament? Did you make him aware that may we have a gas shortage here?
I am certain that the member of parliament, not by me, but I know persons who would have made that, given him that information. And I don't know what it is he will be able to do to cause gas to be on the island now. Yeah. See, the issue is, look here, if we are presenting at the mailboat with gas properly contained and stored, why is it not being allowed on the mailboat that the government has subsidized to do just this, move freight into the island?
So who owns the mailboat again?
The boat is owned by Mr. Tom Hanna.
And you said that Tom Hanna also operates the gas station?
Yes.
And that more likely the reason why no gas could be freighted on the boat is...
I am not going to speculate, especially on every radio. I won't speculate as to what his reasons are. All I am saying is it's a question that begs answering.
So what do you want? What exactly do you want to happen?
What we need right now is for attention to be brought to the plight of the Auckland Islanders in terms of the... No, and I don't want to get lost in the gas thing because it's beyond gas. It is regular scheduled sailings, which according to the Act should happen. It should not be haphazard. People are running businesses and they need to know how to plan. It can't be, I come in Tuesday this week, I go in Wednesday, and I come in this week. When they do have a schedule where they have an off week, we business people and islanders ought to know what that off week is, when that is, ahead of time. It can't be, oh, this is our off week, we ain't coming. But I didn't know that last week, so I couldn't plan properly.
Okay.
So, you see what I'm saying?
So it looks like we need to reach out to the Member of Parliament and have him... Do you all have local government in Auckland?
Yes, local government is in Auckland.
And local government can't intervene?
Yeah, but see, what I am doing, and local government can, but I cannot fight the Member of Parliament or local government to do what they should be doing if the Auckland Trade and Development Association is falling down on their job. So I need to ensure that I am living up to what our mandate is, which is to promote, to facilitate, and stimulate economic trade development on the island.
But you have to at least meet with local government first before you start complaining. Meet with the MP before you start complaining.
Yes. No. See, there is an issue. There is an issue. And yes, there is an issue that needs immediate redress. And I don't know that local government, I don't know what their sphere of responsibilities are. I know that the Auckland Trade and Development Association is mandated to do this. Mm-hmm. And before I go beat up other people and say, y'all ain't doing what y'all supposed to do, let me make sure when I go to you, I am doing what the organization that I have responsibility of leading is doing what it should be doing.
Okay, I appreciate that. You know, you mentioned Auckland's. I said I'll give you some space and some time. So
yes.
I'll have the clarion call. We need the Member of Parliament. We need the local government. We need a minister responsible for mail boats to look in to see if they could redress or address this situation.
Yes. Okay.
And this is BJ Morse. You have a phone number, so anyone who wants to reach out and say this is what's happening could call you?
Yes, 427-4056.
Do it again?
427-4056.
Okay, thank you very much, man. Producer Patch, have a beautiful day, BJ. Thanks again.
Yes, do the same, man. See so. Okay. Good. Bye.
Producer Patch is next caller through, so I can go now to Leonard Sands. Go ahead, caller. How can I help? Call again once. Call again twice. And we hang up from that call and go straight to Leonard Sass. And thanks very much for your patience. And thanks very much for committing to join me today because I have been engaging you for the past several weeks. And he said, hey, man, let me just have you on the radio so you can explain exactly what's happening. But I want to firstly understand what is the Contractors Association? What is your role, objective? And I just want to understand how you get authority to be explaining or giving details about the topic I'm going to discuss today. So I want to understand that. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for having me. Mr. Nuri, really appreciate this opportunity and pleasure to speak to my Bahamian public. And I say my because we all live in this wonderful Commonwealth of the Bahamas and we're all Bahamians, hoping to add to the growth and development of this nation. The Bahamian Contractors Association was first established back in 1958, predates the independence of this great nation. Our forefathers, being some group of like-minded contractors, saw a nation plus 50 years before this nation could see itself, recognizing that in developing country, you need for construction, contractors, and persons who build the built environment. So they formed a small group called the Contractors Association. We are primarily concerned with the promotion of best practices in construction, primarily concerned with the advancement of construction and construction-related ideas, philosophies, sciences, and primarily for the last 30 years been concerned with the advancement of a particular piece of legislation which became an Act of Parliament on the 8th of May, gazetted 2016, which is now called the Construction Contractors Act. I repeat, for the knowledge of everyone, which was gazetted on the 8th of May 2017, has passed 2016, gazetted 8th of May 2017, Construction Contractors Act. Now, why that concerns us and concerns everyone is because that is an act of Parliament by the Parliament of the Bahamas. Much like some acts which are passed, debated, and gazetted, unfortunately for this act, it requires legs. It requires the instrument to do the things as the act calls out. And that is where we have met a bit of a challenge. So the BCA continues to advocate for the full enactment of that legislation. It requires the appointment of a board. Now, full transparency, CA, you know, me and you go back and forth on CA all the time. I cannot blame this administration for the lack of this act being fully enforced. The former administration, which oversaw a period of time when the act was ready to be fully enforced, somehow, good minister at the time, didn't recognize that it had 24 months in which to appoint a board for a contractor to make an application to be registered. That's what DAC said. So that means between 2017 and 2019, any person who feel that they met the requirements and didn't have to meet the requirements if they were practicing for the act could make an application to be grandfathered in and receive their license to be a professional contractor. The problem was, a board was never appointed. So the first day after 2 years after the act was gazetted, it expired. It means that nobody under the act could make an application to be grandfathered in. Everyone would have to meet the criteria of the act. Now, someone would say, okay, there's no problem with that. You're qualified to be a contractor, make an application. But like we just heard from a guy down in Auckland, what if he's been building for 40 years, build every structure on that island? The act may not be so fair in his situation without the grandfathering in clause, which would take away certain kind of considerations for that or persons that fall into that category. So we thought it was important that everyone have an opportunity to get licensed who is practicing. And then the process of let's find out who need to do X, Y, and Z to come up to the standard because it's about establishing standards, right? And so that's where we are. So we met with the now Minister of Public Works, Mr. Alfred Sayers, and we brought to him that situation, him and his permanent secretary and the new contractors registrar, Dr. Melissa Hall, is aware. And they gave us advice and say, simply, we need to now revise the date in the act, which means they have to go back to Parliament, change the date to, let's say, change it to June 1, 2023. Take that to Parliament, pass that, which means that from June 1 or whenever the date is passed, on the date in the act, you have 24 months for everyone to go and make an application to be registered, licensed as a contractor. But in doing so, that's part two, the minister has to appoint the board for you to make the application too. Mm-hmm. So there was only two challenges for the last six and a half years. One, the time had expired for everyone to be grandfathered in. And two, there was never a board appointed. Up until last week, we received communication from the minister's office asking us, where there were several recommendations made by ourselves and the Electrical Contractors Association and another contractors association. Those were recorded, presented, that these would be included in the amendments to be made to the act, and the date will be changed, and they will take it to Parliament, debate it, and hopefully it received approval and ascension again to the Senate, and the same thing. And then we were asked again to present persons for consideration to be appointed to the Construction Contractors Board. Those are the two seminal things. That's it. One, two.
No, I'm happy for the update. So Bohemians will understand and appreciate where what is happening now, where everything stands, right? But now on to, now that I establish that who you are, establish what your confederation, what your association is about.
Yes.
I there are several utterances in the media I want you to address, right? One, several weeks ago, you mentioned that the construction force, labor force, has a large number of Creole speaking. I think that's what the word you used. I didn't think you said immigrants.
No, Creole speaking.
Creole speaking, meaning persons who are documented to work, and maybe perhaps some illegal migrants who are working here in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that the construction industry is dependent on that labor force. And I think you used the number of up to 60% is actually Creole speaking in the construction labor force.
And I stand by that.
And you stand by that. And I'm going to read this April 13th Tribune news report, actually. It says, Immigration Minister Keith Bell said a special operation in a high-end gated community in the eastern New Providence found that foreign workers outnumbered Bohemian construction workers 3-1, breaking the rules. He said that 56 foreigners were taken into custody, leaving 20 Bohemians working at the site. His comment in the House of Assembly yesterday came as he discussed the actions of immigration officers, which include repatriating almost half of the total number of people deported in 2022 in just the first 4 months of this year. Mr. Bell said that the Department of Immigration had launched operations after numerous complaints from the public about the number of foreign workers on construction sites. The finding of the latest investigation revealed all of the persons had been issued work permits. He said, secondly, all of the persons were working outside the scope of the terms of their work permits. Thirdly, a large number of persons were unlawfully paying dramatically lower work permit fees by giving incorrect job descriptions, such as farm laborers, which attracts a fee of $500 when they were highly skilled construction professionals, which attract a fee of $4,000 to $6,000. Let me start and stop there because I have another article I want to put in the record for you to comment on, right? How important is immigrant labor in construction?
Let's jump ahead of that first before I answer that, CA. Mm-hmm. Dependence is a challenge for this country. Dependence is a challenge for this country because what we didn't seek to address when it was just a small challenge has grown into dependency. So back in the day, let's go 20 years back, right? We thought it was important that I need labor now. And we say, wherever we could find labor from, we just grab a guy. We need to finish a project and go on the site. Because we made that such commonplace, what we find today is that I'll just grab a guy has now turned into the dominant labor on your job site. Because the availability of labor has assisted you so much so. I just came from Abaco 2.5 weeks ago. The landscape has totally changed. I dare anyone to challenge me and tell me it isn't how I'm telling you. It has changed.
I want to stop you. Is the Bahamas experiencing a construction boom?
Boom is a lot to do about perspective. There's a boom in Providence in the West in terms of development.
All kind of construction happening in the West.
There's a boom in development in construction in the West. There's a boom in construction in certain spots on the eastern shoreline of New Providence. There's a construction boom in Abaco on the Keys. Not so much in Marsh Harbor. The boom is in the Keys. There's a boom coming and being felt more on Eleuthera. And Exuma is a definite boom in Exuma. But again, to say that the construction industry is experiencing the boom, I think let's be cautious with that. I think we're experiencing very good times.
So I ask you that because you are suggesting that we may need Creole labor, Haitian labor.
No.
Right? No.
Suggesting that. I'm suggesting that our current labor force is significantly Creole-speaking persons of Haitian descent.
I want to get to
the
that.
Haymans who are naturalized Haitians. However you put that conversation, all I know is if you go on any job site in this island, in this country, and ask somebody to speak Creole, and you would give them $10. If you had $1,000, you wouldn't get the three job sites before you're out of money. Now, I make that statement without fear.
I want to know if there's a labor shortage on New Providence, in Abaco, and by extension, the Bahamas, that you cannot find Bahamian construction workers. See, that's where I want to get
to. I think, CA, the answer to that has to be yes.
See, and nobody's saying that out loud.
No.
And I'm going to repeat the question.
But I think,
is there a labor shortage amongst Bahamians?
I think the answer to it has to be yes. Now, let me document why there's yes. So if you come to me, and I spoke with the Department of Labor, great folks working there. I want to shout out to the team of the Department of Labor. I believe do their job as best as they can, given what they understand about it, right? They say, and I agree with them, if you say, I don't need the labor that's outside this country, that is foreign, why do we, in mass, seek the permits? They say it's not foreign companies asking for the labor permits, you know. It's the ordinary Bahamians seeking labor permits for laborers in construction, for sometimes carpenters, sometimes masons, and they come to the Department of Labor and say, I can't find a carpenter, I can't find a mason, I can't find whatever. Now, let me double down on that statement. I believe them. I believe they can't find them, and here's why you can't find them. Up until last week, Thursday, our premier facility, institution for training Bahamians in that particular skill did not have a course offering for more than 4 years. So if you needed a mason, where would you go to find someone who had that skill? We weren't training them. We don't train carpenters. We train plumbers, we train electricians, we train HVAC. But all the other, some 15 other areas in construction, if we don't train them, where would you find them, CA? You're an intelligent man. So if you don't train them, guess where you're going to get them from? somewhere else where they've already been trained and they enter your country and now they're part of the work pool. So I think we as Bahamians have to shift our thinking now. We can't, it's not no sleepy town anymore. There are developments being announced by this government every cell. And you talk about this $200 million investment here. We just talked about $100 million investment over here, $100 million project over there. Where do you think that labor is going to come from if we're not training up?
So let me talk about these big investments, these $200 million
yeah,
investments.
All over the place.
But it's being announced every other week. Who will be fulfilling these jobs? Because you're now saying that labor force is 60% Creole speaking.
Beyond that. But right? that's a conservative number.
Conservative number.
Yeah.
And that's stick with 60% right now. I mean, even go up to 70%, right? Are Creole speaking, mm-hmm. right? The minister is saying the majority of those Creole-speaking people
have work permits.
No, they have work permits, mm-hmm. but they work permit for construction.
No.
These are
farmers.
Farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of those 60% are working illegally.
Outside the scope of their work permit. Yeah.
And persons are lobbying that those persons should be disqualified to working on a construction site. And I would like to know, in your opinion, if those people are excluded, what would happen?
The collapse of the construction industry, as we know it. So I don't advocate for that, CA, because I said it again.
But I want to know what you're saying. Are you saying that our construction industry, and let me say this.
Say it.
Our third industry in the Bahamas mm-hmm. is construction. It's,
yep.
It's tourism, banking, and construction.
Absolutely.
So construction is important.
Billions.
We have, and you didn't confess to me, point that certain pockets are having a construction boom. Money is flowing through the Bahamas right now. Because
billions.
Of construction.
Billions.
And you're saying, I'm asking again, I'm beating you, you're saying that in this construction boom or the facilitating of the construction is being done by 60% of Creole-speaking people is doing these constructions?
Absolutely. And I will go as far as to say that about 90% of all construction activity on the island of Abaco is Creole speaking.
Can you say that again?
I would go as far as to say about 90% of all construction on the islands in the Abacos is being done by Creole speaking persons.
So you're saying that the majority of people who are doing construction in Abacos are of Haitian descent, some way or form?
Of Haitian descent. And again, and I want to be very careful what I'm saying about that. I don't have a challenge with the background at all. I'm saying that they could be Bahamians of Haitian descent. They could be Haitians, naturalized, not Bahamian. All I know is that we have a bilingual, multicultural construction workforce, and we have to start to recognize that. And I also am going to say that I support the statement by the Minister of Labor and Immigration. We don't have a challenge with granting anyone who's asked for and documented why they need the work permit, the permit. What he's saying is that the disingenuousness of the process needs to cease because you're robbing the public treasury of its just due. You can't come to me and say, I need a laborer, and I pay $1,500, but he's working in your high-end project where he should be paying the governor of Bahamas, $4,500. So that's $3,000 difference here that someone's, I understand what I'm saying. So we support the honesty in your application for the permit. We recognize that the labor has to be needed. Because if you didn't need it, why go through the process of asking for it? Because someone said to me before, because it's cheaper. And I asked him to prove that. I asked him to prove where the person that you got a work permit for is being paid a wage that's lower than the Bahamian that you say you didn't need to get the work permit for. And since I put out that challenge, no one has come forward to say, ha, Mr. Sands, here it is. This is why I get work permit holders.
I want to investigate that some more, but let me go to the caller here. Producer, patch the caller through because I want to ask you that question again so you can explain that. Caller, go ahead. Caller, going once. Caller, can you hear me? Nothing, producer, for the caller? Caller, producer checking line. So let me go back to Leonard then.
Yeah.
Okay. You are saying that, the excuse is saying that we have so many Creole-speaking people on the construction site is because they're cheap labor. Is not true?
That's absolutely a fallacy.
You sure?
That is,
we pay them the same amount of money as Bahamians?
Fallacy. Let me just making sure this mic is on. That is an absolute fallacy. That is an absolute fallacy.
So what is the reason why we hiring so many Creole-speaking people?
Because in most instances, and I want to be very clear about this, in most instances, the demand for available labor quite often can only be supplied by those persons who are there to supply it. Let me give you an example. You're inside North Andres somewhere, and you're doing a resort CA. This is your resort. Mm-hmm. You billing when 15-room, you know, boutique hotel. Just you and your family, you're trying to get this thing off the ground. Because I'm talking about an experience a friend of mine called me and told me about. And he said, I put a sign out of the gate. I need 20 guys to work today. The term of work is I need you to work 8 hours. We're lifting rocks, moving out this pit to fill in this foundation, XYZ. I'm paying you $70 per day. Every man who's able, show up. Monday morning, 17 guys show up. At 7 a.m., the majority of the guys who show up was Creole speaking. At 8:05, the rest of the crew showed up. At the end of the first day, everyone was paid because you want to induce them to come back the next day. Day two, 50% of the numbers show up. Out of that number, everyone was Creole speaking, one local Andalusian. The third, get paid at the end of the day. The third day, the same 50% who showed up the day before, showed up again, no locals, no Andalusians. Till Friday, same deal. And he starts all over again. Now, I said, my good brother, are you suggesting to me that the 2 days of income that you paid the persons who showed up, who were from that community, satisfied them enough that they didn't come back after Tuesday? He said, I'm not suggesting that to you. I could screenshot and send you my payroll, what I do every week for the past 15, 18, 19 weeks. We've been building our small and boutique resort. And this, you look at the last names, and you look at the paychecks, and you look at who's getting the money, and look at that past Wednesday and tell me what you see. And he said it to me. And I was stymied. I sat back and said, this is shocking. Because now what I'm going to say to the community is, the persons who requesting the work permits and who are not requesting the work permits is because there's availability of persons who can work because they should be on the farm, but the farm isn't doing so much farm work, so guess what they become? Mm-hmm. Laborers on your construction site. And that's what the minister spoke to.
Let me go to the phone calls again because I want to read what the minister is speaking to again on the record. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Producer Patrick, call it there, true.
Morning and good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we have to be careful because we don't know which one of those people that showed up were local, because they may have all been local. We don't have evidence that they were anything other than local. But in Abaco, 90% is not Bahamian. Well, how many people are working on
Graham? I said,
Creole speaking. You should say bilingual to be
bilingual.
Correct.
Yeah, didn't say they were non-Bahamian.
Correct myself. You should say bilingual.
Make it quick,
we'll
Graham.
Say bilingual. So how many people are working there? And I won't call the project from Mexico. Are there thousands?
Hundreds.
I know the answer.
Hundreds.
It's more than hundreds.
Hundreds.
I have family from Abaco.
Several hundreds.
Several hundreds.
Close
to a thousand. So we have Spanish speaking as well. So I bring your attention to the 2018 Commercial Enterprise Bill. Do you remember that?
I remember it very intimately.
Before the show goes over, please tell the public how convenient it is for doing ease of business to get any kind of foreign labor in here. See, we've failed. We're getting ready to celebrate 50 years, I say a failure, because we failed to train our people in the basic skills of building and construction. We failed to pay our people a proper wage. We failed in immigration, and my father was cheap labor to the United States of America CA. He went over there on a contract. You applied from country of origin. You should bring Loftus Roker on your show. And you received critical data.
That have nothing to do with this conversation, though, Graham.
It does. You bring, you're talking about immigration. You're talking about labor.
And you're talking about people who speak Creole who are in the Bahamas. They could be Bahamians. Why do they need a contract if they're Bahamians?
You just said you have to hire some people
from other sources to do the labor. I ain't reached it yet, Graham.
Okay, well, when you do get there, I'm not allowed to call back.
You call back when I reach there. You call back when you reach there. I have another call right here. Producer Patch, the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Caller, producer. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, good morning to you, CA.
Good morning.
I tune in pretty late, but I think you're speaking with Mr. Lynn, the president of the construction union.
Association, that's correct.
Right. Mr. Simon.
Yes, sir.
I've been wanting to talk to you for quite some time now. At least this is about a month or two since you made a statement concerning the workforce as it relates to persons, like you will refer to speaking Creole in the country, having to occupy those positions that Bahamians should be occupying. And I honestly, I didn't accept what you're saying, because in that statement you were trying to say, or you were saying, that because we don't have the workforce, we, the Bahamian people, don't have the workforce, there are persons from down south who are now taking those positions. And you also alluded to the fact that even though those persons were illegal, if you take them out of the workforce, then the construction company would go belly up. Now, you know, I took exception to that, because what in my opinion, you were condoning was illegality. The fact is, like Brown, as Mr. Brown just mentioned, these things have to take proper process where it goes through the channels, the proper channels, and those persons qualifying should be afforded the opportunity to occupy those positions. I would say that you, who supposed to be a president of that company, would even say something like that. There you say, well, if you take these illegal people out of the workplace, why can't you advocate to the government to help these persons who are skilled persons regularize and do things the proper way in any civil society? Because if you look at it, anyone can come here, pick up a tool or be a skilled person. You don't know who they are, but because they are equipped to do the work, you just allow them to do it. I mean,
can I make a response to that? I appreciate your commentary, and I do not disagree with what you're saying. But what I was speaking to was the fact that if you remove the persons, and I said in my original statement, whether they are legal or illegal or in violation of the work permit, meaning that they even have a permit to work, but they are, like the minister also agrees with my statement, they're just acting outside of their work permit. If you remove all of those from the marketplace, the industry would collapse. And I still stand by that statement.
I want to investigate and interrogate that some more. Carl, I see you on the line with the music playing. That means we need to take a break. But when we come in, I want to read what the minister said. And basically what the minister is saying, that perhaps the government needs to intervene and to basically regulate some of these people who are working out of the scope of their jobs in order to secure and safeguard the construction industry. And that was what the conversation is about today. Is there an urgent need to do that now, to regulate these persons who are working outside the scope of the job? And when they mention the word working illegally, they're not talking about those persons who do not have work permits, but persons who do have work permits, however, have work permits to do something else. And that these, that the construction boom is happening, that we need these people to be on the job now and stay on the job. But we'll be right back. This is Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, I'm talking to Leonard Sands, president of the Bahamas Constructors Association. And we're talking what is happening in labor force. We'll be right back.
Get ready to celebrate our 50th independence with a golden jubilee. The Road to 50 presents the inaugural Jubilee Day. It's a day to celebrate the Bahamas and the Bahamian people in grand style. We're jump-starting the Independence Party on Friday, May 5th at the Southern Recreation Grounds. Come and explore the cultural village from 4 to 9 p.m. and take your seats by 6:30 to witness a fantastic cultural show. It's all about the black, gold, and aquamarine. Wear your colors to show your pride. Schools all across the Bahamas will be taking part. This day is made to celebrate you. It's Jubilee Day, Friday, May 5th. For more information, visit CelebrateBahamas.com or go on social media and type in Celebrate Bahamas.
To be a Bahamian, proud to be a Bahamian, proud to be a Bahamian, yes. God gave this land to me.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The 6th edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th, get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit thebahamasgames.org.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. There's a boom in general.
In general.
In the Bahamas in terms of work.
Yeah.
Right? Every day you see in the papers, all the fast food restaurants are asking for people to apply. All the food stores are asking for people to apply. Or basically throughout the Bahamas, there are people, there are organizations begging for people to apply. And the same as it is in construction. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a construction boom because every day, every other day, particularly in tourism, the minister's announcing a new project and saying that we need 300 workers here, 200 workers there. Right, so we know there is a boom and there's jobs there. Anyone who wants work can find work.
No,
right? No, you don't think
we fight you on that.
Go ahead.
I had a very, very interesting conversation with the public relations officer for Disney. Forgive me, Mr. Gaskins, I can't remember your particular title. And he said, we have some 200 and something plus.
We ain't want that job.
Persons.
I tell you what we want. I tell you the job.
Who are working on our project, and they're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
We had to train them, though. They didn't come to us doing a good job.
Wait,
we had to train them. So I make that statement publicly for the public to understand that developers, persons who are doing these projects, they're having to invest in their labor force to get what they need from them. Sometimes we think we have it all good when we come to the table, and we don't. And so
it's not like you're trying to make excuses for the Creole speaking people.
I'm not making excuses.
Are you trying to say they're more qualified? They come with an experience?
I'm speaking to that particular example of what they had to do on their project to get the kind of work from their workers. I didn't speak to whether they was Creole speaking mm-hmm. or non-Creole speaking. So I'm saying if that's an example, if you're in Abaco or and you're doing a project, some flaw flung key that we had with all these development, I have to believe that the developer has to invest some monies in training the people as well.
Besides, the phones are light up, but let me read this into the record so people can understand and to also comment on it. Bell said the government is considering amending the immigration law and possibly allowing for the scope of work permits to change. Instead of having to arrest and deport individuals, but the ideas and final decisions surrounding the widespread problem have to go before cabinet before anything can happen. Bell said until that time, the construction industry and other industries will now be heavily scrutinized to ensure the law is being upheld. The object was really to meet with them, hear their concerns, hear their challenges, and to indicate to them that the Immigration Department and the Department of Labor ensures the enforcement of our laws, said Bell. We want to give them the opportunity to, first of all, correct their issues and mistakes. Secondly, to clear up any doubts and to clarify them. And thirdly, to let them know that we will not continue to just focus on employees, just that is the person of these work permits. But we are now focusing, concentrating on the employers. And the gist of all of it is, right? Mr. Keith Bell, Minister of Immigration, is saying that perhaps in the future, they would need to expand the scope. The more likely for persons who are working in the farmers, in farming, to be able to get a secondary job at a certain time or whatever, due to especially the demand that is coming out of the construction industry, that there's such a huge demand, right?
Yeah.
That their needs to fulfill in order for the construction to meet the level of the
demand. See, I think that's smart. I think that we'll come to a place in this developing nation where our development may outpace our labor ability, that we need to look at flexible work permits where your work permit does not, again, I'm not advocating for it, but I'm saying that we need to recognize where we are. I think it is smart to say that a person has a work permit to be a farm laborer and a mason, a farm laborer and a carpenter, or a carpenter and a mason. But I think I want to say as a president of the Contractor Association that we're asking for contractors to be honest when they make the application, if they're doing so for what the labor they need. Don't say I need two guys to lift buckets and you get a Modell operating heavy equipment. Let's not do that.
We didn't know the time, I got to invite you back because so many things I needed to ask you back. But
we didn't get to it.
You didn't get to
it. It's a heavy topic. Billions of dollars we're talking about. Yeah, billions.
We're talking about real money inside the Bahamas. Yeah. We're talking about a construction boom and we're talking about labor and we're talking about a shortage of labor. We're talking about shortage of skill.
Yep.
And now to fulfill the boom, we need to perhaps expand the immigration laws in order
to make it flexible, to fulfill
our boom.
To reflect reality.
Because it impacts other industries and other jobs, in fact. Sorry, callers, I know I got to go. I'll bring him back on to start this discussion right from where we stop off again. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, I had Leonard Sands talking about construction and the boom and the labor that is required. Right?
Yeah.
And that the consideration by Mr. Keith Bell to say perhaps we just need to expand the labor laws to include these people. Have a wonderful day.